In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are getting ready to wrap up our stewardship month. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday that we will preach about stewardship. And we hope that next Sunday anybody that hasn't submitted a pledge card will do so by that day or on that day. And as has been the case before every sermon, I have to offer a disclaimer to all of our visitors. We don't talk about money all the time here. We talk about money 1 month a year. And we have to do that because we have to support the church 12 months out of the year. But even then, when we talk about stewardship, it's about so much more than money. As I did last week, I just want to reread this morning's gospel. It's short, and it's powerful, and it kind of speaks for itself. At that time, a ruler came to Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have observed from my youth." And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus, looking at him, said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Now, the obvious sermon that we won't preach this morning has to do with the rich entering the kingdom of heaven. We've talked about that in the past. And I think we have to stipulate that every one of us is rich, because everybody got up this morning, you went to your drinking fountain, and out came fresh water to brush your teeth with. You're not going to catch dysentery from the water you drank this morning. We all got here by some means of transportation, most of us through our own automobiles. We'll go home, and our greatest source of angst will be, how are we going to lose the weight we put on over Thanksgiving, not where's our next meal coming from. And so all of us really are rich, and for that reason, we do have to be especially diligent and attentive with regard to our spirituality. But this morning, I want to talk about this parable, this episode in the life of Jesus from a slightly different perspective. And it's about this ruler that went to talk to Jesus. First of all, he already knew the right thing to do. And that's important. All of us should know what is right to do. Because if you don't know what's right, you're never going to do it, right? How often, this happens to priests all the time, right? They go to a new church, and somebody else, and very, very well-intentioned and kind, will say, "Father, what a weird coincidence. The last priest's wife's name was Presbytera." And it's because they don't know. They don't know that Presbytera is a title, not a name. But how would you know unless somebody tells you? This guy knew the right thing to do. He's seeking Jesus. We're not exactly sure if he's seeking Jesus entirely in good faith. But at least he's seeking Jesus. How many people in the world aren't even seeking him? And if you believe the dialogue that he's having with Jesus, he's looking for eternal life. He's looking for clues, tips, if you will, on how to enter the kingdom. And Jesus helps him untangle all these things. Jesus listens to him. He affirms, yes, what you know is correct. That's right. And he even says, look, there's one thing that's getting in the way of all this, and you're really rich, and you need to fix that. And he actually offers this guy a very radical solution that he offers only to a few people, which is sell it all. Sell it all and follow me. But he knows this is the one thing that's holding him back from the kingdom. And I wanted to use that as a backdrop this morning as I talk about our last two demographic groups. For those who have not been here for all of our stewardship sermons, we've talked about people who come to church regularly, people who come to church just once in a while. Last week we talked about middle-aged parishioners. And this morning I want to talk about our young adults and our aging adults. They have a lot in common, believe it or not. And I know this because because I serve all of you and I get to know you. The young adults know their faith. They're like this ruler who came to talk to Jesus. They know their faith. And if you come to any of the Orthodox Forum meetings, it's amazing how much they have read about the lives of saints, how they know their scripture, how they know the teachings of the church. Today is a weird Sunday because it's Thanksgiving weekend, but we know that not only do we have the Young Adult Forum, but on any given Sunday, most days, there'll be two tables full of just young adults. And they're people who are struggling to really understand what it means to be an Orthodox Christian. And they're serious people as well, serious about their faith. They're seeking Jesus. They're seeking eternal life. They're here for a reason. They're not here just to come hang out with their friends. Far from it. They're seeking to know the Lord. And they're not confused. They're not tangled up like this ruler from this morning's narrative of the gospel. But they got their heads on straight. And so they know that they have to be consistent with regard to the practice of their faith, which is why you see so many young adults here Sunday after Sunday. They know they have to be consistent with regard to their support of the church. They're working for the church. They're sacrificial. They're sacrificial just in the work they do for the church. We have young adults that come and volunteer at our ministries, young adults that serve on the parish council, young adults that give very sacrificially to our church. And of course that means they're servants, they're humble. And you will find very often when things have been left in disarray downstairs that our young adults will don an apron and start picking things up. So it's very gratifying in that while some churches, the young adults are kind of an add-on. And we say, yeah, you're almost grown-ups, and one day you can be like us. They're an integral part of our church. Our church would survive, but our church would not be the same without the contribution of our young adults and what they do. That's very special, and it's something I never take for granted. But then there's that other demographic group we haven't talked about. That's our aging adults. And here's what I can tell you about our aging adults. They know their faith. They know their faith very well. And they continue to want to learn about it. So anxious are they to learn about it that one of our seniors meetings every month is me just talking with them about issues of faith, and they ask questions, etc. Our aging adults are seeking the Lord. They've found Him, to be sure, but they're seeking to grow closer to Him. They're pious. They're here all the time worshiping. They have a love of the church, and a love for Jesus Christ. And like our young adults, they're not confused. They know why they're here. They're here consistently. There are adults who are older who I will guarantee I'll see at virtually every service. And I'll see them serving and working and volunteering here and there and everywhere. They're sacrificial. They're sacrificial not only in their work for the church, they're sacrificial in their giving to the church. There have been people of all ages who have contributed to our elevator project so far, but among the most sacrificial gifts are people who are in their retirement years. And annually, some of our biggest pledges come both from our young adults and from our retired adults. And they're servants. And they're servants when something needs to be done and nobody else is doing it, it doesn't matter how old anybody is, but very often our aging adults will pick up an apron themselves and get it done. And just like our young adults, they're an integral part of our church. It's not like we have aging adults here so that we can somehow put them on a shelf and then bring them out once in a while for their seniors gathering, but they're doing everything in the church everybody else is doing. Working hard, praying hard, and sacrificing. And so this is a bit of a Thanksgiving sermon. It's Thanksgiving weekend after all, and so I thank God for every aspect of this church, the physical building, the staff that we have, the parishioners of all ages and backgrounds. But I do want to offer thanks this morning to our young adults and our aging adults. This is a great weekend for thanking God. We get confused sometimes and think that we're supposed to thank God only by eating, watching football, and shopping. But no, of course not. We're here this morning, as we're here for every liturgy, to thank Him. And we thank Him for our very lives. We thank Him for the new life that He gave us through the cross and the empty tomb. We thank Him for everything. And we know our response to Him is to do what? It's to give more of ourselves to Him, to spend more of our life in prayer, to be here even more often worshiping, to be here with even greater sobriety and piety, to work even harder for the upbuilding and growth of this parish. And yes, to give. This morning, the ruler who went to talk to Jesus went away sad. It says, when he heard this, he became sad. But there's no reason for you or for me to go away sad, because we know what to do. Just do what our young adults and our aging adults do all the time. Seek Jesus, listen to Him, and then do that which is righteous.